Red Business with Jonathan Healy.
Hi there. Thank you very much for joining us. We have a special one this week with Cork on a Fork fast approaching. We're talking all things food. The countdown's very much on for this year's festival. It's going to take place across Cork City from August 14th to 18th. Over 5 days, the city is going to host more than 70 events celebrating the unique food culture of the region and highlighting local culinary talent and produce. And boy, do we have a lot of that. So on the podcast today, we're going to explore a special pop-up summer harvest feast at Glenbrook Farm in White's Cross. We're going to hear about the VQ Shared Table, which is going to see 400 guests dining on McCurtain Street. But the whole thing is being organised by Cork City Council. And to tell us more about Cork on a Fork, I am delighted to be joined by Elmarie McCarthy, Tourism Officer at Cork City Council. Elmarie, lovely to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Delighted to talk to you about this.
This is brilliant. I remember it coming back. There was all these great initiatives that have taken place, but it's brilliant to have everything kind of under the one banner.
I think this is it. It's really a chance to dial up the Cork food and drink story, because there's so much happening, but it's often quite disparate. So by just focusing these 5 days on what's on offer on Cork and encouraging kind of collaboration between producers and restaurants and chefs, you get a really special outcome. And I think it really tells the story of what's available in Cork.
Tell us about what is being planned now, because it is a big calendar of events.
It is. There's over 70 events happening this year. And given the fact that this is just our third year with the festival, that's really impressive. I mean, the events are primarily organized by businesses themselves. We directly organise the focal event in Emmet Place. We, as Cork City Council, with support from Folger Ireland, will be having a marquee in Emmet Place all day on the Saturday and the Sunday. And that will be a chance for people to enjoy some of the best chefs working in Cork, from Cork, giving demonstrations. All of them are free of charge. And there'll also be a food market throughout the weekend where people can buy and sample Cork produce. And then, but all the other events that are organised either individually by a restaurant or collaboratively, like the Shared Table on McCurtain Street, where all of the restaurants on the street have come together to organise this, what's going to be an amazing special event, taking over McCurtain Street 1 year after it reopened with those beautiful public realm improvements, and really celebrating the beautiful street and the fine dining and food opportunities that are there on that street.
Well, we've talked about the VQ previously on the podcast and how that area has changed so much for the better. I mean, you're not going to chance outdoor dining now, surely. It'll be indoors, won't it?
There is a plan B, but we're all keeping our fingers crossed. But, you know, August, there's no guarantees, sadly.
Sadly not, but fingers crossed it will be good. And I remember we've done this before, and it's such a wonderful spectacle. Now, the other thing we're talking about this year is the Cork on a Fork Beer Fest. You had me at Beer Fest. What's happening?
That's being organised by the Franciscan Well. So that's a new addition to our festival this year. So they're going to have a series of beer events pop up across the city, from free brewery tours to a three-course set dinner where all the dishes will be cooked using beer. So again, you can find out more on the corkonaforkfest.ie website for all information about this beer fest.
Okay, well, as I said, I'm sold on that even before you get going on. We have got such a vibrant cluster of food producers, don't we? Because, I mean, we've interviewed many of them on this podcast. What is it about Cork that's drawing them all together, Elmarie?
Cork has an amazing long food tradition. And I think like our butter tradition kind of, you know, goes back hundreds of years. But I think the excellence of the surrounding countryside, like over 60% of the artisan food produce in Ireland is produced in Cork. And I think that's attracted people from other countries who then adapt to the produce and brought their own skills and traditions with them. So it means that the actual produce is quite unique, really high quality. And it can be locally sourced. And I think really what we need to do more is tell the story of the stories behind the food and behind the makers of the food. I think that's the kind of thing that diners, whether you're a kind of a Cork person or you've come to visit Cork, that's the kind of information that you really want to hear and enjoy, and makes it a really kind of memorable experience.
Look, it's a very competitive market, tourism. You've got people trying to bring tourists to different destinations for different reasons. The Killarney, they have the lakes, for example. Galway has that kind of bohemian feel to it. Cork is trying to position itself really as the food capital. I mean, we kind of always said it was, but it is successful in bringing people to town now, isn't it?
It is. I mean, what that's very much kind of like the big picture behind what we're trying to do here is we're working with Folger Ireland to try to promote Cork as a food destination. As you say, a lot of local people, we appreciate the quality of the food, although not everybody would be aware of the excellence that we have here. But I suppose visitors come, that at the minute visitors aren't coming for the food, they're pleasantly surprised and come back for the food, but it's not something that they're aware of. So what we're really trying to do through this festival and kind of having it at the same time every year, bringing in influencers, working with Tourism Ireland to try to tell the story overseas and try to kind of make sure that dial that up as part of the reason why you would visit Cork and stay in Cork a few extra days and really showcase the food experiences that are on offer, because it's not just the restaurants and the pubs. There's also food tours, guided walking tours and trails. And increasingly now you've got distilleries like Rebel City Distillery doing guided tours. So that kind of that food visitor offering in an experience is growing as well. So it's something that I think we just need to promote more and maybe kind of make it more accessible through. We're looking with Folger around a new kind of website whereby you can access information about all of the food and drink experiences in Cork. Well, so just making it easy to find out what's on offer.
Absolutely. And it's very easy to find out what's on offer with Cork on a Fork, because if you go to Cork City's website, corkcity.ie, click on the link there, Cork on a Fork, everything is there. You can find out how you can get tickets and all that kind of jazz on the website, Anne-Marie.
That's it. It's all available there. And just to stress, there's a variety of experiences. There's free experiences, obviously ticketed experiences. It's for adults. There's family events. And I really would encourage you all to visit the Marquee over the weekend. We've got some amazing chefs doing free cookery demonstrations. Clodagh McKenna, Rachel Allen. We're going to have a Michelin match with Michelin star winning chefs Rob from Chestnut and Balladahob and Miyazaki from Ichigo Ichi. So, that, I mean, we've got Ashley Moore from Goldie and Ryan O'Sullivan, who was the winner of Hell's Kitchen USA with Gordon Ramsay this year, will be giving a demo in Marquee. So really top quality chefs.
I'm hungry now. This is killing me. And I'm only at the start of the podcast. We're going to talk about the VQ event in just a minute. But for now, Elmarie McCarthy, Tourism Officer with Cork City Council. Pleasure as always, Elmarie.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Now, as we heard there, the VQ Shared Table is taking place on the opening night of Cork on a Fork. Wednesday, August 14th, the Children of Prague will be set out right across the city in the hope that the weather will be good. And it's going to see 400 people dining at a shared table on McCurtain Street, showcasing local produce and the experiences of the VQ area. Phil Ryan is the manager of the wonderful Isaac's restaurant there on McCurtain Street. And he is one of those involved in this. Phil, how are you keeping?
I'm good, Jonathan. How are you?
I am very well. Now, this is ambitious. I mean, we talked about rain with Elmarie. You must be praying for good weather, are you?
Yeah, listen, we have a fallback plan, but obviously with all these things, you can never guarantee the Irish weather. But fingers crossed, it'll be a nice sunny day. I've attended the last three long table dinners. So there was two on the South Mall and it was sunny for both of those. And there was one on Otter Plunkett Street. So it was a lovely day for that as well. So fingers crossed, we've had a nice long run of it.
Yeah, you've had a good run, which is great. I mean, from a service point of view, this is daunting because you're not in your restaurant. You're out on the street. You're going to be interacting with other premises with whom you get on very well, but you don't necessarily work together. I mean, it's Ramsay would have great crack watching this.
Yeah, listen, as I said before, Isaac has been involved in two of the three long table dinners that have gone ahead before, so it's not our first rodeo, but it's interesting to see. And, you know, here in the VQ, we have a great relationship with all the other businesses, so we work together well. But that being said, it'll be interesting on the day. You're serving 400 people. There's lots of staff running around the place, but I'm sure we'll put it off, no problems.
So how do you divvy it up then? Do some kitchens do starters, others do mains, others do desserts?
Yes, exactly. So how it started is we had a meeting with all our chefing teams, and we decided We put it out there and asked what people wanted to do. So some restaurants are doing starters, some are doing mains, some are doing desserts. And say, like for example, for Isaac's restaurant, we're doing starters and we're sharing with two other restaurants. So it's all divvied out. We'll kind of prep it in our own kitchen, then we'll use the Metropole as a central hub for dishing everything out on the day.
Okay, so that's lucky. The Metropole obviously has a very big kitchen, so you guys can all
yes,
feed into that,
exactly,
which is great.
Yeah.
Now, the produce is very important here, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is. Only the best, only local produce. So, for example, Isaac's restaurant now, Clonakilty Black Pudding has come on board as one of the sponsors. So we're using Clonakilty in our dish for one of the starters. So it's going to be interesting on the day. There's lots of local produce, so John, it should be good. I won't give too much away because we're trying to keep it under wraps.
You won't sell the tickets to see if they don't. If you tell them what they're having, they might lie to some of it and they won't buy tickets.
Well, the tickets, thank you God, sold out very early.
Okay.
So, well, they're 400
getting,
of them.
To hell with it. They're getting it then. It doesn't really matter. You're also taking part in the wider festival as well. I think you're getting the legendary Rachel Allen to do a pop-up dinner for you.
We are indeed, yeah. So the opening night is the 14th, so it goes from the 14th to the 18th, and wrapping it up inside an Isaac's restaurant, we have Rachel Allen and her husband Isaac coming and doing a pop-up for the evening. So they approached me, and they're good friends of mine, so they said, would you like to do a pop-up? And I said, I'd love it. So they're coming down, I think they're doing a 5-course tasting menu inside the restaurant. It's going to be kicking off at 6:30 on the 18th of August. So that should be lots of fun. I think there's about 100 people in attendance. So I think we have one or two tables left. If anyone wants to avail of it, they can pop onto our website, isaacsrestaurant.ie, and there's a few tickets left there.
What has it been like in the last couple of years? I mean, the amount of roadworks on McCurtain Street has wrecked everyone's head. And now it's all finished and the street looks fantastic. I mean, does it feel like you're living in a parallel universe to what it has been like for the last few years?
It's all for the greater good. It was tough for the 2 years when it was going on, but we knew it was for the greater good. And to be honest, the outcome is amazing. People love it. There's not much parking around the place. That's the only problem. But the street looks amazing, and we're booming up here at the moment, which is great.
Because obviously it's a challenging time in the trade, and people, we know that restaurants are struggling, and it's hard to provide value and all of that. Are things going well for the restaurant right now?
We are going well. Like, I was up in the Doyle 2 weeks ago. I went up with the REI, asked me to attend a meeting just to get on to a few politicians and, you know, try and bring the VAT rate down to 9%. So it was myself, Michael O'Donovan, who's chairperson of the VFI, and Michael Ryan, who's he's chairperson of the Cork branch of the REI. So we went up to Dublin. We lobbied the politicians to try and get the VAT rate from 13.5% back down to 9%, because it is very challenging. And we met a lot of restaurateurs and publicans up there. There was about 100 in attendance. I was just hearing all the stories of doom and gloom and woe. And, you know, it's rightfully so. There's a lot of people struggling at the moment. Our lunch trade, you know, it's not great inside in the restaurant. We got to keep the doors open. Thankfully, our evening trade is solid enough just because McCurtain Street is quite busy at the moment. But, you know, it's not easy out there.
Yeah, no, it is challenging. But events like this help bring people into the city and remind them of the kind of quality that's there. Phil, what's the website for the restaurant again if people want to look at the Rachel Allen event?
Isaacsrestaurant.ie.
Isaacsrestaurant.ie. You can book your dinner there. They're very good at booking your lunch.
Come on in.
Heartily recommend it. Phil, pleasure to talk to you. Phil Ryan of Isaac's Restaurant. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Pleasure.
Now, the Cork and a Fork Festival has just introduced a very special pop-up. It's a summer harvest feast, and it's going to take place at Glenbrook Farm, which is in White's Cross, on the 14th of August. That's a Wednesday, and it's promising to be a unique dining experience in a calf shed on the farm. And all of the ingredients are going to be sourced directly from Glenbrook Farm, which is epitomising the idea of farm to fork and absolutely zero food miles of a dining experience. Glenbrook Farm, is owned by Peter and Kate Toomey, who are with us now. Peter and Kate, you're very welcome. How are things?
Hiya.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Now, whose brainwave is this, lads? Because this is going to cause absolute wreck on the farm altogether.
No, it's a 50-50. It's a 50-50. No, look, it's something that we just chanced our arm with last September. We did our first one back on the 15th, 16th of September last year, and it was a gut-inducing experience putting ourselves out there and doing it, but it sold out fairly fast, and it's become a good experience for everyone, I think, us included now at this stage after doing two, so... This is our third one, so it's exciting.
Oh, it really, it sounds fantastic. And it's a 6-course tasting menu, Kate. And is every ingredient coming directly from the farm?
Yeah, absolutely everything is coming from the farm. So we have the pork from the pigs, we have retired dairy for the beef, and then we have all the vegetables growing on the farm as well. So the aim is to have absolutely everything coming from the farm. And that is that is Pamela Kelly is going to be the chef for this one. She's fantastic. And we're literally handing it over to her and, you know, letting her full reign of creativity and masterfulness. Like, we're not chefs and we're blown away by what they can do every single time. Like, we've seen them in action. It's incredible. Like,
yeah, well, Pamela Kelly, of course, for those who don't know, she is the head chef at the Farmgate. So she doesn't deal with muck now. She wouldn't be dealing with bad ingredients. So, I mean, she must be happy enough that you're producing the good stuff. But you are, Peter, predominantly pig farmers there, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, we've a free range pig farm, so all our pigs are outdoor reared, we'll say. So yeah, our pork is different to generic pork. We've, I think, a different product. I think we're trying to push it for best in Ireland, best, why not best in the world? It's a different product, and the butchers that we deal with and the chefs and the restaurants that we deal with are blown away by it because it's a different product. But that's all to do with the pig's life. We create an environment on the farm where the pigs, number one, is mental stimulation for the pigs. They're a very inquisitive, highly intelligent animal. They need an itch to scratch mentally before anything else. And we have that in every section of their, we group our pigs together in size, and it doesn't matter what age they are. Once they come to the weight, they're ready to meet the counter of butchers or restaurants around Cork, and in our own farm shop now as well. We have a farm shop open just over 12 months, and we're selling our produce from there as well. So it's we started putting it on social media 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and it's opened up a lot of doors for us since we've done that, to be honest.
No, it's wonderful, it really is. Now, the other thing that I'm keen on talking about, you mentioned retired cows. Now, I would have assumed a retired cow would be a cow that's gone to the factory, but it isn't necessarily that.
No, look, I was milking cows for 23 years at home, and I absolutely love the animal, but I just felt a little bit let down at the end by how the co-ops weren't backing up the dairy farmers on the food that the cows are producing. So what we're doing is we're doing a marketing campaign based basically on how much food one cow can produce. So we'll say our cow currently in our farm shop at the moment would have fed 6 families with milk every day in her first lactation. So for 4,500-liter cow, you know, we done a survey on our Instagram page, and over 50% of people use over 2 liters of milk a day. So I'm just saying that if people looked at dairy farmers as food producers rather than maybe people who are killing the planet or whatever. I mean, in the last few years, everybody seems to know everything about the emissions from a cow, and no one knows anything about the food that they produce. So we're doing up a chart for a farm shop where we'll highlight you know, a cow is only idle for 15 months of its life before it's pregnant. And then at 2 years of age, calves down, it's working, it's growing a calf for 9 months of that. It's milking as soon as it's calved. That calf also goes on to produce food, either in the beef line or in another milk, as a milk producer, if she's had a female dairy calf, we'll say. And milk is a superfood, and it just gets very badly marketed, I think, you know.
Yeah. It's probably we have too much access to it. Katie knows an awful lot about cows, doesn't he?
Gets a bit boring, doesn't it, after a while?
Gets a bit technical about it, yeah. I know I'm not the actual farmer. Peter's the farmer. But
you married well. No, you married well. That's how we say it, yeah.
But it's great just to see that at the end of the life that the cow isn't, you know, that you can eat it. But it's worked hard all its life, and then you can eat it. And it actually tastes a little bit different. We weren't sure what it was going to taste like for the last restaurant. And it was amazing. And it's fantastic to see that the animal is being used to its full capacity. Yeah. Like, and then also, like, it's really interesting to think that there'll be a market for that that there never was before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just about educating chefs about it and people 100%, about it.
You know,
really.
It's just how you use it as opposed to what it is. Now, the other thing I'm loving is Cork Rooftop Farm, who we've had on the podcast a few times. Ryan McCarthy's been with us. And you know, they were growing their micro veg and all that kind of stuff. But the organic veg you mentioned, there's a link to Cork Rooftop Farm, is there?
Huge, yeah.
Yeah.
We've entered into a lease now with Brian for 15 years on 60 acres of our farm. So when we got out of dairy, we had agreed to this, we'll say, and it's all part of, like, we'll say, the buzz I got last March, 12 months of selling some of the pack of sausages, food to people. So Brian and myself are hoping to feed Cork, basically, with the produce from Glenbrook Farm. So he has over 50 varieties growing currently on the farm, and it's been a horrendous year for veg or for any growth, anything that needs growth, grass included, we'll say. But with the different dynamics and the different veg and different areas, and it's coming good now, and it's absolutely phenomenal to see the amount of people that can be fed from a row of carrots or a row of beetroot or kohlrabi and courgettes, things that we never had growing up, but they're there now and they're coming out of the ground at a rate of knots.
It's wonderful to see. And we can grow things. We just stopped growing things. That was the thing. It's brilliant. And if people want to get involved, if they want to look at what you guys do, glenbrookfarm.ie. And is that where they go for tickets for this wonderful event you're having in your calf shed?
It's sold out, unfortunately.
But look, it's sold out
in about 10 hours. We were absolutely blown away. It just goes to show that is what people are after, is an experience. They love to know where the food is coming from. It's unique. We it's rustic, but we make it pretty. And we have live music, and we have a sponsorship as well because we're part of the festival. It's amazing. We've done all this on our own before, so to have any bit of a help is phenomenal.
The festival is highlighting everything, but even if you go to glenbrookfarm.ie, the website is there, and you can actually buy products there as well. And lads, we wish you the very
our
best.
Our Instagram is really where you'll get all your information and where we probably talk to people more on that.
I think the website needs work. The website is just four boxes at the moment, but we do have a full farm shop with over 20 different things on it. We just need to get that up online next. That's our next project, probably, because it is probably the best way to grow a business, because it doesn't take much investment in infrastructure or whatever. It just takes a bit of time. But I suppose we do a daily thing on our Instagram.
Glenbrook Farm Cork, if people want to kind of follow the story.
I tell you, there's no
happening.
Flies on you anyway, because, I mean, you can have a look at it on the website, or you can go and have a look at it on Instagram. I'm looking at it on Instagram the lovely things you have there. Yeah. Lads, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Best of luck to you, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Same to yourself.
Peter and Kate Toomey from Glenbrook Farm. Glenbrookfarm.ie. Check them out on Instagram, because amazing stuff that is up there from their farm shop. That's it from this episode of Red Business, dedicated to Cork on a Fork. You can visit the Cork City website, corkcity.ie, and they give you all the details on how you can book the free events, or you can book the other events that are there. All the details are online. Marita Kelly was the producer on this week's podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Get the Red Business Podcast every week with Jonathan Healy at redfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts.